next public hearing is subdivision 2006-35, 2416 Joppa Road, LLC, rehearing.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Seaford 100, Sussex County, dividing 109.45 acres into 56 lots, located north of Route 553, 1,820 feet west of Route 558, 900 feet east of the Delaware, Maryland state line. I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments from reference to the TAC.
Mr. Chairman, the commission originally held a hearing on this application October 11th of 2007. On March 19th of this year, you reviewed the application under old business, and there was a motion to deny the application. Back in May of this year, the applicants appealed that decision to the county council. On June 24th of this year, the council acted on this application and has sent it back to the commission for a rehearing. I passed down a copy of the reasons that the commission stated in denying the application when it was first heard, and there's also a copy of the minutes of the county council's meeting. And then this afternoon, Mr. Fuqua brought in a revised tab B for your exhibit book, and I will pass those down. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir, we thank you, Mr. Abbott, and the chair recognizes Mr. Fuqua.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen. Good evening. For the record, my name is Jim Fuqua. I'm an attorney in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant. With me tonight is Tim O'Shea, seated right back here, who is the principal of the applicant and the owner of the property, and Chuck Merritt of Merritt Development Consultants, who did the site design. As I said, Mr. O'Shea is the owner of the land comprising the application. It's actually titled in a separate LLC, which he is the owner of. The land was purchased in September 2006. I have submitted an exhibit booklet, which is tabbed A through I, which I assume you have a copy of, as well as a separate procedural history of the application, which contains 9 exhibits. You're familiar with this application. You heard it previously. It's somewhat awkward coming back before you to tell you that I disagreed with your decision, and we appealed it to County Council, and County Council overturned that decision but told us to come back to see you about this, and that's what we're doing here this evening. Again, just for the record, a public hearing was held before you last October. In March of this year, the Planning and Zoning Commission voted to deny the application. Basically, they cited 5 reasons, which I will just summarize as number 1, that it wasn't in a development district. And number 2, that it wasn't suitable due to potential flooding, poor drainage, and possible pollution of groundwater. Number 3, that the Planning and Zoning agreed with plus comments that said that this was in a rural area, not a growth zone. Number 4, it wasn't consistent with the character of the area. And number 5, it wasn't conveniently located and that it wasn't close to schools, shopping, et cetera. As I said, we disagreed with your decision and your reasoning. On April 15th, we did appeal to the Sussex County Council. Our reasons for challenging your decision are set forth in my letter of April 15th, which is in that procedural history. It's number 5. In summary, we argued that, in our opinion, the Planning and Zoning Commission misapplied or misinterpreted the applicable provisions of the subdivision ordinance and the comprehensive zoning ordinance. A detailed explanation of our position is stated in my letter to County Council of May 14, 2008, which is number 6 of the procedural history. An appeal was heard by the Sussex County Council on June 24th, and County Council granted our appeal, and as I said, remanded this back to the Planning Commission for a new public hearing. In my opinion, the issue before you tonight isn't really the particulars of this subdivision, or the details of this application. I'm going to present the elements and the details of the application, and I think the record will establish that the proposed application fully complies with the design requirements of the subdivision ordinance and the comprehensive zoning ordinance, and that design comprehensively addresses the appropriate issues involved in a subdivision's impact. The real issue before you is what does the law permit? And the law is a two-way street. On the one hand, it regulates the manner in which a property owner, in this case Mr. O'Shea, can utilize his property, and it imposes standards and controls on that use. But on the other hand, the law grants the right to a property owner to use his property within the parameters that are stated in the law. And I'll get to that legal issue in a moment, but first I do want to address the facts of the application. For the record, I do want to incorporate the record from the previous hearing, which obviously is in the file, and that includes a transcript of that hearing, which had to be obtained in connection with the County Council appeal. This is an application tonight for a 55-lot subdivision. As Lawrence stated, the original application was for 56 lots, but one lot has been deleted. With the exception of the deletion of that one lot, everything else we're presenting is basically the same as you heard before. The property is located southwest of Atlanta, northwest of Seaford. It's on the north side of Neal School Road, which is County Road 553, and it's located just east of the boundary with the state of Maryland. The property contains approximately 107 acres. It's mostly cleared. There is a wooded area located to the west side, and there's also a wooded area located along the north boundary or the rear boundary of the property along an existing ditch. Again, this is Neal School Road right here. Maryland's up here. Again, the lots are laid out in basically what was the agricultural area of the site. There's a wooded area located here, and there's a wooded area located along a ditch in the rear of the property. All of the wooded areas that are located on the site will remain undisturbed. They're going to be preserved in their natural state, and there'll be a conservation easement imposed on all those areas. There are two areas of non-title wetlands located in the wooded areas to the west and along the wooded area to the rear of the property, and they are shown there by the red line. The wetland areas as delineated are the areas right here, and again, that is within the wooded area. And then the area immediately running along the ditch to the rear, back there. The wetlands were identified by Al Rizzo, a soil scientist. His letter is Exhibit G of my exhibit booklet. No wetlands are located within any lot lines, and there will be no filling or disturbing of the wetlands as the site design is proposed. The site is zoned AR1, agricultural residential. The proposed subdivision is a standard traditional AR1 subdivision. The provisions and the modifications permitted by the cluster ordinance are not being utilized, and those provisions are not being requested. As I said, the subdivision will contain 55 large single-family lots. Minimum lot size is 1 acre. Largest lot is approximately 2 acres. The average lot is approximately 1.2 acres. 55 lots on 107 acres is a density of approximately half a lot per acre, or one lot for each 2 acres. The zoning ordinance requirements applicable to this application are complied with. The zoning ordinance requires a minimum lot size of 3/4 acres. As I said, our minimum lot size is 1 acre. The maximum density permitted by the zoning ordinance is 2 lots per acre, and again, our density is approximately half a lot per acre. So it is certainly what would be considered a low-density development. A community open space consisting of 3 large areas of homeowner association open space containing about 15 acres are provided. One of those areas is a 3.7-acre site, which will be used as a play field. It also contains a parking lot, a tot lot, and a picnic area. And dark green is showing the open space that I just referred to. There's 2 large open spaces located in the front, and then this will be the area with the play field, the parking lot, tot lot, and the picnic area.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Fuquay, just a second. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're having trouble seeing it, you can move up to these front.
Anyone here with interest in this application? Okay. If you would like to move forward and we can have the board turned toward you, we all have this stuff in front of us.
Mr. Weir, what I'll do is I have one more thing to add, then I can pass those boards back there.
Okay.
If that's okay.
All right. I saw them craning their necks. That's
okay. I'll bring them back in a second.
But you're welcome to get up and take a look, too, if you want.
So that basically shows the open space. In addition, there'll be a 30-foot forested agricultural buffer provided along the eastern and western boundaries of the property. And in addition, a preserved 10.48-acre wooded area on the west side, which I referred to where those wetlands are, and an 8.9-acre wooded area on the north. The wooded buffer will be protected by a forest conservation easement to prohibit any cutting. And the wooded buffer to the rear, and I'll show this in a second, the easement extends onto the rear of the back of 12 lots on the rear of the property, basically to preserve the existing trees that would be located on those lots, and that also will be encumbered by a woodland conservation easement. So this is the open space. This is the woodland buffer. Again, this is the area over, again, all the wooded area there will be covered. There is a section here in the rear of two lots. The agricultural buffers along the boundaries. And then all the woods located to the rear of the site will be placed in a conservation buffer easement, including the kind of strip of forest that runs along the rear of some of those lots. And this board basically combines the open space that I referred to along with the conservation easement for the woodlands. And what I've been talking about is, this shows the community open space, and this one shows the wooded buffer. So all of the existing woodlands on the site, as I said, will be preserved and basically remain in a natural state. The standard subdivision requirement is 10% open space on a site. In this case, that would be approximately 10.9 acres. Our proposed subdivision will have approximately 31 acres of community area and forest buffer owned by the HOA. That is approximately 28% open space. And then in addition to that, there is the additional forest buffer that's located on the rear of the lots. In addition, the open space and the forest buffer form somewhat of a natural buffer surrounding the majority of the development on all sides, with the exception of the lots that are located in the corner to the left there. The lots will have individual on-site wells and sewer systems. Soil tests were performed by Mr. Rizzo. Those results were submitted to DENREC for review. DENREC's Division of Water Resources issued a statement of feasibility dated December 28, 2007. A copy of that is in Exhibit F of the exhibit book. And again, as advised by DENREC, Lot 56 was deleted, resulting in the 55 lots that are proposed and approved by DENREC. Stormwater management will utilize a series of bioretention swales, which was recommended by soil conservation. Retention ponds, which were originally planned on the original site plan for the subdivision, have been removed. At the prior hearing, there were concerns expressed involving the potential drainage and potential for flooding on the site and in this area in general. And with the installation of the stormwater management facilities, drainage on this site and adjacent sites will actually be improved by this development. The stormwater facilities, of course, will be designed and installed in accordance with soil conservation requirements. And I will refer to Mr. Merritt if you have any questions about the stormwater management system. Streets will be private. They will be built to Sussex County construction standards. There's one entrance, which is located off of Neal School Road. There are two lots, which are actually located adjacent to the entrance road, and access to those lots will be restricted to the entrance road. In other words, no direct access to Neal School Road.
Everybody get to see these boards, or some of you in the back, does anybody want to see these? We can pass them on back there. I don't think they got it all the way back. Everybody's just, everybody seen them? Okay. All right, go ahead.
So I'm referring to lots 1 and 2, which are located at the entrance, and basically that they will have their entrances onto the entrance road and not onto Neal School Road. There is a no objection letter as to the proposed entrance, which was issued by DelDOT, dated November 6, 2007, and that is Exhibit E of the exhibit book. Street lights and sidewalks on both sides of the street are proposed for the subdivision. The plot shows an old electrical easement or old electrical lines coming across the property. They will be removed. They went to they're no longer being used and will be removed. In summary, all of the existing wetland and wooded areas are protected and preserved. The lots were located in the design of this site in the area that basically was cleared for agricultural use. As to the potential impact on water table and water quality, Mr. Rizzo stated at the prior hearing, and it's in the transcript, which had been submitted, it's on page 56 and 57 of that transcript, that the impact of the individual on-site sewer systems would actually result in a net decline in the amount of nitrogen and phosphorus that might enter groundwater as compared to the impact of fertilizers and chicken manure, which had historically been used in the agricultural operations on this property. In addition, individual domestic wells would withdraw significantly less water than a center pivot irrigation well and sewer system used in the farming operations. The subdivision, in effect, will lessen the potential for groundwater pollution compared to the previous and current agricultural use. The site is located west of both the Seaford and the Bridgeville fire services, either of which can provide fire protection. Shopping and services are available in the Bridgeville area, the Seaford area, and the Federalsburg, Maryland area. And of course, they are the services which are currently utilized by existing residents who live in the area. Nanticoke Hospital and medical offices are located in Seaford, which is closer to this site than really most residences in Sussex County in terms of proximity to a medical facility. The site is in the Seaford School District. The Department of Education advised that capacity is available in both the elementary and secondary schools in the district to accommodate students who would reside in the development. An appropriate location for a school bus stop will be coordinated with the school district and designed and would be placed on the final site plan. The development will have a homeowners association comprised of all owners. The association will enforce restrictions, will maintain all common areas and facilities, and we'll collect homeowners' fees to basically take care of those expenses. As required by law and as reviewed by the county attorney, restrictions will be placed on this development and will appear in all deeds that include the agricultural use protection notice, which is required by the subdivision ordinance. And for the benefit of the people here, what that notice states is that the following must be contained in those deeds. This property is located in the vicinity of land used primarily for agricultural purposes on which normal agricultural uses and activities have been afforded the highest priority use status. It can be anticipated that such agricultural use and activities may now or in the future involve noise, dust, manure, and other odors. The use of agricultural chemicals and nighttime farm operations. The use and enjoyment of this property is expressly conditioned on acceptance of any annoyance or inconvenience which may result from such normal agricultural use activities. The restrictions will also contain the requirement for the forested buffer strip along the ag land boundaries. As I said, that is shown on the plot. And also will contain provisions for the maintenance of that buffer, again, as required by the subdivision ordinance. And will also provide that no residence will be built within 50 feet of an agricultural boundary. If you deem it necessary, the restrictions can contain a notice that hunting occurs in the vicinity. In the exhibit book that was submitted under tab B, we submitted a written summary of the section 99.9C considerations, which I submitted a amended one because I had included the incorrect one in the book. I included the original 99C. Also under tab C is the applicant's response to the PLUS review letter. And under tab D is Connie Holland, the director of the State Planning Coordination Office, her response to our response. And as her response states, and I quote, "While it appears that Mr. Merritt has addressed most of our concerns regarding the development of the property, the state continues to object to this development because of its location in level 4. So as the letter states, Mrs. Holland acknowledges that we addressed most of the concerns that the state expressed, but they still object to it. And that is the issue. That's the issue we have with the state. That's certainly the issue I believe we have with the Planning and Zoning Commission, and that is the issue that we are here tonight to address. I would state pretty clearly that we do not have the ability to convince the state planning office to like this subdivision, nor do we have the ability to convince you to like this subdivision. In fact, I already know from our prior hearing that you don't like this subdivision, but that's why we're back here tonight. Fortunately for me, whether the state or the commission likes the subdivision is immaterial. There is no burden on us or requirement that we make you like it. Our obligation is to comply with the applicable land use laws, and your responsibility is to review our application in the context of those same laws. Now, the technical requirements for a subdivision are all complied with by this plan. The minimum lot size of 1 acre that we have exceeds the 3/4 acre requirement. Our density is half a lot per acre, which is much less than the 2 lots per acre permitted. We provide the 30-foot agricultural buffer. We have large areas of forest which will be preserved and made subject to a conservation easement. We have additional areas of community open space which will be provided, providing total open space far in excess of the 10% required. There are no wetlands located in any lot lines, nor are any wetlands being disturbed. The restrictions, the restrictions and the deeds will contain the ag use notice as required. DelDut has approved the entrance. DENREC has issued a feasibility letter for the on-site sewer systems. And even the State Planning Office acknowledged that the design and the modifications done to this plan address most of their concerns. So those requirements really aren't the issue, and they really, I don't think, ever were the issue. The issue, and really what this entire application comes down to, is the location of the development. This location is admittedly a rural area with existing agricultural uses interspaced with residential uses. The state designates this area as a level 4 and would prefer that no development occur in level 4 areas. I think we know that from obviously the state's letters, as well as some of the statutes that the state tried to have enacted, which weren't enacted. However, that is the state's preference. It's not the law. The Land Use Planning Act, which actually created the entire PLUS process, notes that nothing in that statute shall be construed to deny the local jurisdiction their final decision-making authority over proposed land use planning actions. So it's Sussex County that establishes the land use laws, and it's Sussex County that makes land use decisions in Sussex County. And Sussex County has not created level 4 areas or their equivalent as envisioned by the state. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but it hasn't happened up to now. Now, the land use law in Sussex County is established by the legislatively enacted subdivision and zoning ordinance and the comprehensive plan. That is what the law is. And the law is, as I understand it, and I believe is pretty clear, I'd like to refer to three main things. We have our zoning ordinance. We have the AR1 zoning district, section 115.19 of the zoning ordinance. That states in the AR1 district that the purpose of these districts is to provide for a full range of agricultural activities, which is understood. These districts are also intended for protection of watersheds, water resources, forest areas, and scenic values, and at the same time, to provide for low-density, single-family residential development. So that is the purpose of the AR district, includes low-density, single-family residential development. And that section goes on to say that the AR regulations seek to prevent untimely scattering of more dense urban uses. Where you have higher density, that should be in the growth areas. That should be in the town centers. But it does permit low-density residential use in the AR1 areas. Again, under Section 115.20, permitted uses, detached single-family dwellings on individual lots are a permitted use. At the time this application was filed, it was filed subject to the 2003 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. That plan states on page 11, in referring to this area, the comprehensive plan divides the county into growth areas and a low-density area. The low-density area comprising most of the county is the agricultural residential area located generally in the more rural areas of the county. Although this area is intended primarily for agricultural use, low-density residential development is permitted. And that's what the land use plan says. Low-density residential development is permitted. Again, it's a permitted use. The 2003 land use plan goes on to basically provide, again, that the low-density area is for agricultural activities and also for low-density single-family residential use. It states under guidelines for infrastructure that public water and wastewater systems are not planned for the area. Development will use on-site wastewater disposal systems. So the plan specifically recognizes the type of sewer that's intended here. Guidelines for housing types for this low-density area, again, recognize housing types appropriate for the ag residential district are generally limited to single-family detached homes, which, again, is what we're providing. Under guidelines for density, the land use plan says lots using on-site wastewater disposal systems, the minimum lot size for single-family detached homes and manufactured homes is currently required 3/4 acre, which, again, is complied with by this application. Now, I know we've had that discussion before, at least I've presented that argument before, and that's certainly been my position because that is what the law says. But I have something new that I can add to that, that I think is very, very relevant to the point that I'm trying to make. On June 24th, 2008, as you gentlemen know because you were involved in it, the Sussex County Council adopted the 2007 update to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. So this is the plan now in effect. And that plan, again, made some changes and did other things, but it basically, I think, in much more detail, went in to express the council's position regarding the issue that I believe we're talking about. On page 3-17 of the new plan, which is only 2 months old, it states, as explained above, the various types of growth areas identified in this plan are designed to accommodate concentrated levels of development through the town centers and the growth areas. In contrast, Sussex County envisions the remainder of the county as a predominantly rural landscape where farming coexists with appropriate residential use and permanently preserved property. And then for that rural area, it defines three types of rural areas. One type is is protected lands, which would be federal and state-owned lands maybe that the Sussex County Land Trust buys, things of that nature. Agricultural preservation districts under the state program, which we're all familiar with. And then the third type of rural area is the low-density area, and which again, obviously, is the area that we are located in and it's the area under the land use map of that new plan that we're designated as being in. And this is the language that I think is very relevant. The plan states, all lands designated in this plan as low-density areas are currently zoned AR1. Under that zoning designation, single-family detached homes are permitted at 2 homes per acre on lots containing a minimum of a half acre if the tract connects to central sewer. Where on-site septic systems are used, single-family detached homes are permitted on minimum 3/4 acre lots. And this is really the crux of this. The land use plan goes on to say, because I think there was an issue that really was being debated. The land use plan says, in Sussex County, many farmland owners located in the low density areas have built up significant equity in their land, in numerous cases through multiple generations. This equity is a liquid asset that can serve as collateral to secure operating loans. It is also equity that can be realized through the land sale if and when these landowners no longer desire to continue farming. For this reason, the Sussex County Council supports the state and local land use policies that will preserve the value of the farmland. And then it goes on to cite some of the ways to preserve and protect the farmland consistent with this, one of which is to require community open space and developments that are located there and to plant landscape buffers to physically separate new developments from surrounding countryside. So the county made this decision. I mean, and I know there was plenty of people that disagreed with that philosophy, but the decision was you can have low-density residential development in agricultural areas. One of the reasons is if you can't, you're basically going to be taking equity from the farmers who own that land. That was a policy decision, and that's stated in our land use plan. The land use plan goes on to say, just so there's no question, the following major guidelines should apply in the low-density areas. Permitted uses. The primary uses envisioned in the low-density areas are agricultural activities and single-family detached homes. Businesses should not be permitted there. Again, under density, it says the low-density, the minimum lot size should be 3/4 acre for lots with on-site septic. And on infrastructure, developments where lots are no smaller than 3/4 acres can be accommodated in this planning area without central sewer. So again, and again, under recommended densities, it goes on to state the same thing. That ordinance was adopted, as I said, just 2 months ago. I don't think there's any question what the law is in Sussex County in terms of the right to have residential development in agricultural areas. The Quality of Life Act, which of course required the comprehensive plans in that state law, it states that the comp plan, once it's adopted, that the land use map shall have the force of law, and they do. Now, this application at this location is authorized and permitted by the law. And as I said, the comp plan, as recently as 2 months ago, specifically envisioned and authorized this type of a proposed use at this type of location. If you diminish the potential use of a farmer's land, then you diminish its value. Mr. O'Shea is required to abide by and conform to the requirements of the applicable laws that I referred to, and so is everyone else, and so is the Planning and Zoning Commission. If the commission thinks that policy is incorrect, it should recommend to the county council that it be changed. The county has the power and the ability to implement new policy by changing the law after proper hearings for amendments to the zoning ordinance and the land use plan. But no, nobody can disregard what the law is. It's no matter how well-intended a decision might be, no matter how objectionable it may be to somebody else, the law is the law, and that's what's permitted. Now, in conclusion, the county council overturned your denial of this subdivision for the reasons you stated, the reasons you relied on. And Mr. O'Shea purchased this property based on those existing land use laws in Sussex County, and he's entitled to rely on those laws as well as to comply with those laws. He's incurred significant delay. He's incurred significant additional expense in appealing the denial. There were filing fees involved. He had to obtain a court transcript of the planning and zoning hearing, and of course he had legal fees in connection with the appeal. The design of this subdivision and its compliance with the ag use provisions of the ordinance, the agricultural notice provisions, and the agricultural buffer provisions protect the existing agricultural uses in this area from interference. The right to farm laws basically also protect it, and the subdivision fully complies with the intent and the letter of the law. I do have proposed findings and proposed conditions, which I'll submit to you for your consideration. And in conclusion, as I mentioned before, I'm not asking you to like the subdivision, but I am asking you to approve the subdivision because it's entitled to be approved. And that would conclude our formal presentation. Obviously, we'll try to answer any questions you may have.
Well, we'll see if anybody has any questions for you. We'll start with Mr. Gordy.
Mr. Fuquay, is there anything changed from this site plan from the October 11th?
The one lot was removed, although I had sent a letter removing that lot before. There's no other changes.
No other changes. Yeah. Same entrance and
yes.
Stormwater management.
Can I just follow up on that? Where was the lot removed? I just want to make sure I got
it. It was over in this area right here. It
actually used to front.
Oh, yeah.
Charles Merritt, Marshall.
Okay, thanks.
It used to front onto Marcy's Court, which would be here.
Okay.
And we've eliminated that lot and extended lot 8 and 9 to continue back to.
Okay. So was it lot 56? Okay, all right, thanks.
It actually was lot 56.
Yeah. I knew on this. Thanks.
I don't have any other questions.
Okay, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is Mr. Rizzi?
Rizzo.
Is he available? Is he here?
He's not here
this
tonight.
Evening. Do you mention that you'd gotten the transcripts of the hearing? Do you recall what it was that he testified to at the public hearing back in October?
He answered a question from Mr. Wheatley. I think one of the people in the audience had raised a question about the impact of the on-site septic systems on groundwater. And I think Mr. Wheatley asked that he address that. It's on page 56 and 57 of the transcript, and I kind of summarized what he said, and that was that the actual farming operations there now through the use of fertilizers and manure actually add considerably more nitrogen and phosphorus to the groundwater, and this will actually be a significant reduction in the impact on the groundwater, and that the individual wells on site would actually be drawing significantly less water than the irrigation system that exists on the site. So overall, it would have a significantly less impact on groundwater.
Did he offer some comments on the open space areas behind the strip lots on the roads? I seem to recall, and I don't have an accurate recollection of that, but I thought that he'd made a mention that in his reconnaissance and all, he had made some recommendations to the developer about perhaps relocating.
The original site plan had two large stormwater retention ponds located in those areas. But through the PLUS process, I believe it was soil conservation, recommended that they weren't necessary. They were greatly oversized and basically could be redesigned through bioretention swales. So there was no need for those. So that was removed, and that area just was left as open space, again, creating the buffer interior. There is a ditch that runs across that area, just a narrow ditch that runs across that area. Part of the ditch runs down across here. There is a pipe in this area here, apparently, that I think may cause some backup in some of the drainage on the site, which would be improved by the stormwater facilities that would be put on the subdivision site. That's why I mentioned that actually it would improve the existing conditions of the site and some of the surrounding adjacent properties.
Are you saying, are those the comments that he offered at that public hearing?
No, that wasn't asked at that hearing. This was from just discussions that we had. And I don't know, Mr. Merritt may be able to answer some questions you might have if you have a specific question.
Is there a tax ditch affected by the site?
From my understanding from the prior hearing, there is no tax ditch. There is a ditch located to the rear of the property. I don't believe it's a tax ditch. In the plus comments, it was stated that it wasn't a tax ditch. But that's the ditch to the rear of the site.
Has the wetlands jurisdiction come in? Jurisdictional determination?
No, to the best of my knowledge, it hasn't been submitted. It was delineated, but hasn't been submitted.
That's all I have at this time.
All right, so thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Johnson.
I have no further questions this time, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Burton.
What type of housing are proposed here?
I'll have to defer to Mr. O'Shea on that. Is there...
My name is Tim O'Shea. What I would envision are 1,800 square foot to 2,000 square foot residential homes, anywhere from ranchers to bi-levels to two-story colonials with attached garages.
Thank you. Will there be some kind of marking on delineating where the conservation easement is? How will the lots there know where their lot ends?
Basically what it's going to amount to is all the existing wooded areas will be covered in the conservation areas. So the delineation will be pretty obvious. In other words, no trees are going to be removed.
Okay. No further questions. Mr. Lenick?
All my questions have been answered.
Okay. Mr. Couch?
Since this last came before the commission, we've had some issues dealing with wetlands. And just for the record, does your application include who did the wetland delineation and what their qualifications are?
Well, you got to remember, this application was filed in 2006.
You said a delineation was done.
Yeah. There's a letter in the file from Mr. Rizzo in one of my exhibits.
And does that letter include what his qualifications are?
No, it wasn't. There was no requirement for that.
But to cut through it, I was just reviewing the transcript, and he gives his background in the transcript.
Okay, so there is some place in the record where it gives his qualifications.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Certified soil scientist.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I can submit for further verification. It just wasn't done at that time.
Well, he did, and he even talked about how long he'd been licensed through DENREC and everything, so... It was in there.
That's all. Oh, and one other question. On your drawing that you submitted here, there's a red line that's shown, but it's not identified on the...
Here?
Well, and on this side here. Also, it's a red line with a W or an M.
That's the wetland.
That's a wetland. Okay. We're trying to...
Okay.
It's the same as this. I highlighted it on here.
Okay. It just wasn't identified on the drawing, so...
Can't see it, that's why I did it on the other plot.
Okay. And is that associated with a perennial stream?
There is a...
On this boundary here?
There's a stream which is a tender branch.
Would you would classify that as a perennial stream then?
That would be our resident. I believe it's a stream, a tender branch.
That's all.
Yes, sir.
One question. You're saying you're preserving all the woodlands. Some of the woodlands do encroach into some of the lots.
Correct.
Is the deed restriction is going to reference that they cannot disturb the existing woodlands?
The woodland conservation easement will, of course, be on the HOA areas as well as any of the woodlands that are located on the lots. And that would be, as I mentioned, that would be a kind of meandering
strip
along here. And there's also an area on this lot right over here.
Okay.
But again, all wetlands would, all woodlands would be preserved, as well as wetlands.
And that'll be monumented so people in the field can see where the boundaries of the conservation easements are?
It can be. Obviously, the tree line will be the tree line.
I understand. The tree lines can change.
All right.
Revised signage.
That's all.
Okay. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
No questions. Thanks.
All right, sir. Gentlemen, we thank you.
Thank you.
Take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-35, 2416 Joppa Road, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-35? Yes, ma'am, we'll start with you, and then after you, sir, you'll be next. Give us your name, and you may have the floor.
My name is Delima Calloway, 21110 Calloway Road, Bridgeville, Delaware, zip 19933. I believe there is a reason to be concerned about the number of wells for the 55 lots they've been talking about on 107 acres. My concern is with all the irrigation systems which completely surrounds that, irrigating the crops, will the underground water supply take care of the farms and the 55 lots developments? If you remember, right now, Maryland's having problems with a situation like this. And will the wells all be the washed-in types? I guess that's the law now. And if I understand what he said tonight, all the septics will be the LPP and not mounds.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. My next concern is about the secondary roads. The roads in this area are not blacktopped. There's just a thin layer of stone. There's no lines on them. And if you put 55 households out there, and probably each home will have at least two vehicles or more. That's 110 vehicles or more. And in the summertime, these roads are the last roads to be mowed because we're the last roads in Delaware before you hit the Maryland line. You're last on everything. And in the wintertime, the snow plows open them up last. And the nearest grocery store, well, Seaford's 8 miles away. Federalsburg's closer, but people go to Delaware because there's no sales tax. So these are my concerns. And that ditch you're talking about, that's not a tax ditch. It runs in back of my farm. And back O'Day's and the farm that Mr. O'Shea bought, that floods. When you get heavy rains, it floods. That whole area in there is covered with water. It probably should be a tax ditch, but it isn't. So that's my concerns.
We certainly thank you, ma'am. And we'll take them under advisement. Yes, sir. Nope, that's you.
Charles Calloway, 20857 Calloway Road. This is my memory.
That's fine, sir. Take your time.
Is this a continuation? I was here at a hearing earlier. Is this a continuation of that hearing, or is this a completely new one? Do we start all over again, or
well, yeah,
what I'm getting at, is all that still in the record, or do you start over again?
Well, it's... What happened is that the applicant appealed the decision that the Planning and Zoning Commission made, appealed it to the County Council. County Council reversed the decision that we made, but
Well, I guess they did. That would be my question. Did they actually reverse our decision, or did it simply set it aside and require them to come back for another public hearing? So I don't know if continuation is would be the correct characterization or not, but the fact is everyone kind of acknowledges that it's been here before, and we're having to do this again because the County Council felt that we had misinterpreted the ordinance when we applied it to this application, and they're basically telling us to do it again. So that's why we're here.
So what we said and did that night is still in the record?
Yes.
Yes, it is still in the record.
And that applies to Mr. Fuqua's record as well. I mean, yeah. The transcript's been filed and everything.
But please feel free to put in whatever you want to put in the record tonight. If it's redundant, we'll understand.
I'm just concerned about the drainage, and I think something about the soil conservation was discussed, but due to my poor hearing, I didn't hear it. And I can't comprehend all of the information that the gentleman here presented. I have no access to it. But anyway, I'd like to, I just want to say Callaway Road is one of the few roads in Sussex County that has a 30-foot right-of-way, and there are ditches on both sides of it. I'd like to ask the gentleman, I'd like to approach the map and ask him a question. Show me.
Well, you can ask me, and then I'll ask him.
Okay, can I point to it?
Yeah, go right ahead. But you guys pay attention, so I have to repeat myself.
There's lots here.
Uh-huh.
They're low, and there's no drainage. So what happens? The water lays on the road. You know, this is Sussex County. It's flat land. You have to have drainage.
And I guess your question is, what are they going to do about that?
Conservation has to say about all this.
Well, what would happen? I can answer that.
Go ahead, Councilor.
What would happen is if this is approved, they would have to take it to the Soil Sussex Conservation District, and Sussex Conservation District would get a crack at the whole thing to decide whether the drainage works or not. And they would look at the engineering that these folks as engineers have done to see if stormwater management and the ponds and the drainage and everything works. And they won't approve it unless they're satisfied it works. And the Planning and Zoning Commission can't approve it until Sussex Conservation District does. So they're not to the point where they'd have to go to get that approval from Sussex Conservation District yet.
Okay, they will look at it.
If it gets preliminary approval, they'll look at it, yeah. Oh, absolutely they will. Yeah.
Okay, good enough. I don't have any more questions.
Thank you, Mr. Callaway. Appreciate it. Okay, who's next? Anyone else want to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Step right up.
Jason Callaway. I live on Callaway Road. Just wanted to come up and repeat some of the things I said last time. This whole thing seems repetitious to me. Not many changes. The stormwater ponds were taken out. That seems like not an improvement, but the other way around to me. As they were saying, the road floods out when it rains, and if you put a bunch of asphalt and concrete in there, where's all that water going to go? It's going to run off, and it's going to be even worse. It's almost impassable during a storm as it is. And not only do you have the 110 cars coming in and out of there, but just think of all the construction materials that will be brought in for 55 houses. And then how many of those 55 residents are going to want swimming pools? They're going to be bringing all those materials in. And then when you grow pickles in the fields and they put the bees out there, I've been told by one of the beekeepers that they're attracted to chlorine water, the swimming pools. So how are the residents going to feel when they have bees flying around their swimming pools from the field, from the beehives? I'd like to know if there was a traffic impact study done on as far as the quality of the road. As Del Callaway was saying earlier, it's tar and chip, no lines, pretty narrow. You got to watch what you're doing when you pass cars head on. That's gonna be a huge increase of traffic for that road. Right now, there's about four or five houses on that road, and now you're looking at 55 in one field. Doesn't meet the density of anything else around it. There's no high-speed internet. I've been trying to get that ever since I lived there. Not going to happen. I've talked to Verizon. They don't have any plans of doing it for a while. I've talked to the cable companies. There's no cable TV. They have no plans for that. That's about it.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Merritt, do you want to address the gentleman's concerns about how the traffic was assessed?
We submitted a plan.
I need you to come up here to the mic, if you would, please. Okay.
We submitted a plan to DelDOT and asked for their recommendations based on our plan submitted to them. And we submitted our plan to DelDOT June 14th of 2007.
Okay.
And we received back comments from DelDOT by way of an approval letter of no objection.
Did they require a traffic impact study?
No, sir.
Therefore, none was done because they didn't require one?
That's correct. Okay. But they did, however, give us a recommendation for a letter of no objection.
Okay.
Did you say a copy was in their file?
We've got it, but for the benefit of the gentleman that's here this evening, I wanted him to hear the...
We actually met with DelDOT. And they have studies of how much traffic's along that roadway.
Okay.
And we weren't required to do any improvements to Neal School Road in any situation because the traffic there now with our subdivision isn't going to increase the requirements that they are looking for.
Okay. All right. Who's next? Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir, all the way in the back. Come on up. It's your name and you can have the floor. Make the walls and ceiling too if you want.
I'm Billy O'Day, 4148 Woodland Ferry Road, Seaford. My father owns a farm, I guess it would be directly east. The border is right here.
Okay.
All of that. And we farm. He owns that. We farm all of Mr. Charles's ground and Mrs. Dell's land. And no matter how much buffer you put on it or whatever, it's going to change that whole area one way or another. I mean, you're not going to be able to hunt like you did before. You're not going to be able to do all the things that you do before in ag lands. You know, I guess some ways he says that, you know, farming's bad, the chicken manure and all the water, but yet they say they want to protect it by putting houses in. That doesn't seem like a whole lot of logic to me, but you can twist things around and make them sound how you want, I guess. But it's just going to change the whole area. I mean, those 55 houses, you know, that's more than there is probably within 3 or 4 miles of that whole area on all the roads. I don't know all the exact numbers, but I just would think that, you know, it's going to be a lot more traffic, a lot more people, and kids will be kids, and I'm sure they're going to be out in my field riding their bikes and their four-wheelers. But what I worry about is, say, when there's an aerial pilot spraying that field, there's going to be some little boy out there in that cornfield, and he's going to get sprayed because he doesn't know that the pilot can't see him, and the little boy doesn't know either. And it's just... You know, it's one of those things. It's an ag area. So, you know, all the buffers and whatnot you want, it's still farmland, and that's, you know, what its best purpose is. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, then. We thank you all. Anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.